Hey everybody, welcome back to the Monday Night Pod, Vasquez Fenske. Tonight we're going to get to the word.
So the word tonight was called Inherit a Blessing. This is the part two of where we talked about Abisha. We talked tonight about just the concept of if you've been around somebody in your life where they were just acting in a way that made no sense to you, where they were just almost irrationally angry, and it made no rhyme or reason to you, it didn't make sense. And what we talked about tonight was seeing beyond the natural to the spiritual and how you can inherit a blessing for seeing beyond the natural to the spiritual. We talked about the story from 2 Samuel 16:5, where if you were with us about a month ago, we talked about Abisha. And this is part two of this because we saw in the first part where him and David and similar circumstances where Abisha wanted to kill Saul and David told him, hey, here's why you should not, thinking beyond just what was in front of him. And this is a similar situation because there's once again something happening in the natural that Abisha has response, but David could see beyond that and that there was blessing with that. So if you remember what's going on here at this point in King David's life, so he's on the run from his son Absalom right now. And it says, as King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimeah, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops in the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimeah said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abisha, son of Zariah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. So that's what's happening in the natural here, where this guy just comes out of his house, is cursing out David, and even though, as it says, all the troops in the special guard were on David's right and left. So this is really like almost just irrational anger here, where David has well-earned reputation as one of, if not the toughest warrior king on earth. He's with Abisha, who, as we talked about a month ago, was the toughest soldier in the best army on earth, with the special guard on his right left, and now he's cursing them out as he's pelting them with stones. So this guy's asking for it, which is exactly what Abisha says. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. And that is what, you know, would certainly be, you know, what could happen here. This is not some kind of democracy where, you know, it's you commit a crime and, you know, you're out on bail and then here's a court date and here's a trial and here's a jury of your peers and now here's a decision from the judge. This is if David just, you know, points at him, yeah, Abishai's going to go over and just cut off his head. And this guy is asking for it. So that's what's happening in the natural. That's the first point. But let's see what's going on in the spiritual, because David responds in a way that you would not expect. He says, but the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? So David says there could be more to this. If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? And this is 1 Corinthians 2:14, just on display here, which that's a verse we regularly go to, and just talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit and being able to discern on a spiritual level. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So David is spiritually discerning that there may be more to this situation than meets the eye. Abishai wants to go over and cut off his head. Understandable response in the natural. But David's saying, hey, there could be more to this. And then in verse 11, he says, David then said to Abishai and all his officials. So right there, David again is going to give a teaching point to Abishai here. That's what made this such a great relationship, because Abishai, this great warrior, had David right there with him to guide him, counsel him, provide him with wisdom, and keep him off some of these poor decisions that he was coming to snap judgments with, whether that was the opportunity to kill Saul, or in this case, he wants to kill Shimeah. And David then said to Abishai and all his officials, he's going to teach him a point here. He says, my son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? That's something to remember. If you're going through a tough sequence in life, so something bad happens to you, people are going to pile on. That's just the nature of people. You can't take offense at that. They're going to have something to say about it. They're going to chirp. They're going to pile on. Right, so David says, look, if you know, I'm on the run from Absalom right now. My own son is trying to take my life. Then how much more this guy, right? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. So you see in verse 10, he says, if he is cursing, because the Lord said to him. And then verse 11, he says, the Lord has told him to. That's a great lesson right there of just not being reactionary, not making snap judgments, is the one of the guys said tonight. Don't be OD, over dramatic, where you see a circumstance of life and you're just reacting to it instead of taking a pause and seeking clarity first. A lot of people create a lot of just problems and conflict in their life, whether that's in their relationships with their friends at home, because they're reactionary. They don't take a time to pause and see this from a different viewpoint, to consider what else may be going on here and not just be reactionary to the circumstances. So if you find that section of scripture, Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So if you're a disciple and you hear this, you're like, whoa, what is he telling us here, where he's now saying that he's going to suffer and die? And Peter, sure enough, verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Here's Jesus' response. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Because yes, if you're looking at what Jesus just told you from the perspective of earthly perspective, you're like, no, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to die. Peter right there is not just missing out then on his own salvation, that Jesus, by his wounds we are healed, is by his death on the cross that we can be saved, Peter and the rest of mankind. But also, Peter's going to miss out on his purpose, because if Jesus doesn't die, then what is Peter going to preach about? Right, so there's an example of just not being reactionary, of seeing more. And that's what you see in the sequence with David, where verse 10, he says, if he is cursing, because the Lord said to him, and then in verse 11, the Lord has told him to. So remember, one of your fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And that patience, where you can start to spiritually discern as you pray and understand this from a spiritual perspective, can give you the answer beyond the natural. Now, this is a really interesting point, because David says that the Lord has told him to. So God told this man to curse David. So this brings up a theological point here as to what is going on here, that God would tell somebody to curse. Now, the first thing to consider is what has led up to this. Because if you're Shemaiah, and this is your reaction to seeing King David, Abishai, and the surrounded by the special guard on the right and left, and your response is to curse them out and throw dirt and stones on them, which he then continues to do, as you see in verse 13. There's probably a significant self-control problem, a significant anger problem here that has gone on for a long time. This is probably not out of the blue. The Bible talks about hardening of the heart. Okay, hardening of the heart is not... it's not you're not struggling to do right. It's you're determined to do wrong. That's where you get the hardening of the heart. And if you harden your heart, God will turn it to stone. That's in Psalm 81, where it says, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. That is the worst place to be. We're not talking about just being out of fellowship. We're not talking about being disciplined because you're out of fellowship. We're talking about that God has just done this. just turns you over to your own devices, that your own behavior now is going to cause significant consequences in your life, and God is going to harden your heart. One of the more prominent examples of that in Scripture, if you flip back to Exodus. So if you see the sequence here of the plagues that God sends on Egypt, first you have the staff turning into a snake. And it notes that Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down a staff and it became a snake. That happens again in the plague of blood. The Egyptian magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and it says, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, as the Lord had said. That also happens in the plague of frogs. Then it's the plague of gnats that they are unable to do. It says, but when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. The magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then you have the plague of flies. You have the plague of livestock, where a distinction is made, where the Lord says that flies and the plague on livestock is not going to happen with the Egyptians. The Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die and no swarms of flies would be in Goshen. So now you have these supernatural events happening to Pharaoh. Men cannot reproduce them. He is being told this is the finger of God. A distinction is being made. He is still not listening. Then you see in the plague of boils, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And then you see right after that, just a few verses later, where the Lord says to Pharaoh, but I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So because Pharaoh would not listen, then the Lord hardened his heart. But he still had a purpose. But I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So the Lord is still working through the wicked. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it tells you that the task of the sinner is gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. That's Ecclesiastes 2, 26. And now if you go back to our original section in Samuel, David says, it may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. Did you know that the Lord is preparing a blessing for you through a wicked man? That even in the worst circumstances where this guy is just asking for it, cursing you out, throwing dirt and stones on you, that is, the blessing is built in. That the wicked have a purpose in your life. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. So what one of the guys tonight said, you know, this is also a test for David. 100% right. Because can he respond in a spiritual way to this? Because revenge is mine, says the Lord. That's where you're talking about do not judge. Because if David is going to be here and judge Shemaiah for this, he's going to miss the blessing that he says is then his in verse 12. Because he is responding in a way with spiritual discernment, that he's not going to let Abishai just cut off this guy's head. Okay, and this is exactly what it tells you in 1 Peter 3. It says, verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So the moments in your life where somebody is just acting irrationally angry towards you, and they are acting in a way that does not make sense, and there's nothing that seems to merit their behavior towards you, there might be something more going on. There might be a spiritual reason for what you're seeing in the natural. And I will tell you right now, there is, because we know from Ephesians chapter 6, this is such an important verse to remember in the Bible. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So stop getting mad at people. Don't be mad at people. Instead, do what the Bible has called you to do, which is exactly what the Lord tells you in Matthew 6. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So in situations like this, you got a shemiah in your life that's just cursing you out, that's acting irrationally, that's just like, why is this person being this way to me? There's an opportunity for a blessing there. That if you can love your enemies as God is calling you to do, and instead of repaying evil with evil or insult with insult, instead with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. So that's the message for this week. Inherit a blessing. Monday Night Pod. Hope that everybody listening has a blessed week. We'll see you next week.